Good morning and welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I am Amy Otto with Lee Cantor today. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I love this fall weather.
And we got a full house with all your buddies. Healthcare land.
You know this.
I'm not that comfortable in healthcare land.
Right.
I'm a marketing guy.
We've gone the whole marketing round, and that took up, what, a month?
Yeah, now it's your turn.
It is, and now I get so excited talking about healthcare that we do have three great guests today. And we should probably get right to it.
Because
We've got a full slate today. Willie Tillery. I was just joking about the fact that I stalked him in the Business Chronicle for years, and I honestly have, because I really have admired what he's done and his concept. Really what I want to talk about today is the electronic medical record component of healthcare, because I think it's driving a lot of where healthcare is going today. Willie is a co-founder and CEO of NeuroStar Solutions and has a fascinating background, a Georgia Tech business grad, and I'd love to hear more about just where you come from, Willie. So welcome to the show, Willie Tillery.
Thank you.
So tell us, where did you grow up?
Grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Went to undergraduate school at North Carolina A&T in electrical engineering, and went to Georgia Tech to pursue my master's in electrical and computer engineering. I did minor in business then.
So when you were younger, you always dreamed of having a radiology company?
When I was younger, I dreamed of being a football player.
Oh, wow.
So this was a logical step then, kind of, with radiology, right?
Yeah, I think so. When I was injured, I had to figure out a way to fix my injury, so I went into radiology.
So when you talk about radiology, tell us what is the component that you offer to an electronic medical record solution?
Well, when I started NeuroStar about 8 years ago, the focus was to provide images to the referring physicians in their offices. In building the company, you realize where you can start with and start generating revenue and start building the building blocks to a complete service portfolio. So we started off actually producing images for radiologists for accessing studies and providing services to rural hospitals and imaging centers that didn't have, you know, the volume to justify radiologists on site or the funds to maintain digital technology on site.
So that was the problem? Like they just couldn't afford it?
Right. They didn't have the volume
necessary to have somebody there full time dealing with this.
Exactly.
So you saw that as a business opportunity,
right? The trend, just like in any other industry, was to go from film to digital, and mm-hmm. healthcare is 5 years behind any other industry. So, you know, the groups of facilities that were lacking in service was the small hospitals and imaging centers, and so I decided to come up with a solution that would link the radiologists remotely with those facilities electronically.
Mm-hmm.
I called it the Virtual Radiology Network.
Now, how open were they to this?
Very open, because
it was such a pressing need and they didn't have a better answer?
Exactly. Reports would get back to referring physicians within a week.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to what was it previously? That was a week? And
exactly.
Then
now it's within 30 minutes.
Wow.
Big difference.
Wow.
Right.
Big difference with technology.
So once the image is in the system, someone can read it from anywhere?
Exactly. We have doctors reading in Europe from home.
Could they read it on their cell phone?
Laptops, no. I wouldn't recommend reading on your cell phone, even though the technology looks good.
An iPhone, maybe?
It looks good, but I wouldn't recommend it.
That's amazing. So with that being then in an electronic format, can it be forwarded on to other physicians for them to view as well if they're treating the patient?
That's the nice thing about what's going on. We started off in the hospitals and providing a distribution service for radiology groups in the hospitals. And now it's led to what I just recently launched called the Personal Imaging Record for patients and physicians. So now we have this repository, and millions of studies per year go through our service as an ASP model of image management and distribution. And now I'm extending it to patients and referring physicians. So it really completes the link to a complete medical record. We're excited about it.
How does that benefit the patient?
Well, if you think about it, and an example.
Like I've had knee surgery. How would it impact me?
You had knee surgery.
Yes.
So you wouldn't want to have to walk back to the hospital or drive back to the hospital to pick up your
film.
CD or
right.
film and take it to your referring physician. Now, if you just place a phone call to the hospital, they could send it to our system electronically. You can decide who you want to see that study
mm-hmm.
by selecting the physician on the system via the web, and it falls right into their directory. That physician can either download it into their system or view it on the web.
Mm-hmm. And so I, as the patient, have the control to decide who gets it and who doesn't. So my privacy is still being protected.
Exactly.
Wow. So the patient management of information seems like a key component. How are physicians embracing this technology?
Well, it speeds the time.
But don't they like paper? They like to hold on to this stuff, right?
Well, I hate to say that sometimes the older doctors who are used to film and looking at film and paper, they still want to utilize that old technology. But the newer ones and some of the older ones now see the benefit of having, you know, quicker access and the ability to compare film electronically.
Right, side by side, in, just on their screen, I'm sure.
And collaborate with other doctors
right.
quickly.
So that I could have like two physicians looking at my film online simultaneously, and they could have a conversation, and they might be in different cities. That would be possible, right?
Exactly.
Even different countries.
Right.
Wow. That's amazing. So all of this is part of a patient's records, and the physician manages it. I'm going to introduce Lawrence Grace, and I'd love to do a little bit of a roundtable here and get everybody involved. Lawrence Grace is with NextGen and has, over 26 years of technical experience in many areas, especially the healthcare area. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, Amy.
Tell us a little bit about NextGen.
Well, NextGen is a electronic medical record and enterprise practice management software company. They've been in the healthcare information technology arena for probably about eight to 10 years.
What type of clients? I mean, are they small physicians, small practices, large practices,
they
hospitals?
Range from mom-and-pop shops to large multi-physician enterprises.
Okay. And how do you market that towards a physician? I mean, it's obvious that physicians are going to have to go in that direction with electronic medical records by what? The government says 2009 is the goal?
I thought it was 2011.
2011.
Yeah.
And what types of initiatives are being placed out there for physicians to embrace the EMR?
Well, I guess different configurations of what they need. We don't, sell, all our offerings to every physician because they may not need that. So some may just need a practice management solution that typically manages the front office and billing. Others may need the entire suite of applications that encompass the medical records that incorporate information like Willie was talking about. And others may just need the ability to receive information like laboratory data and send it from their practice management EMR system.
So are the doctors going kicking and screaming into this new technology?
Early on, they have been. Early on, they have been. But, you know, they are starting to see the benefits of having an electronic solution to this because, you know, I mean, typically I've been in practices where they have used examination rooms as a storage facilities for medical records. I mean, it's just filled with racks and racks of patients' charts.
What's the big hurdle you have to get through when you communicate the benefits of your system?
Time and money, obviously. Anytime you introduce a new technology to physician practices or really any business, you know, you've got people there that have been doing things the same way for years and years. It's going to be a training process, and it's going to cost some money. But we try to show them the cost benefits that they're going to see on the back end after they move from a paper-based system to an electronic medical records or electronic practice management solution.
How long does it take them to recoup their investment typically?
Probably 4 to 6 years.
Now, Willie and Lawrence, this question is for both of you. If somebody has existing x-rays or existing medical records, meaning lots of files in their office, and then they get that into the EMR, do they have to hold on to that hard copy or hold on to the hard copy of the x-ray for a certain number of years, or how does that work?
Well, I'm sure they're going to have to keep the paper for a certain amount of time for legal reasons, but they don't ever have to go back to it, so it can be placed in off-site storage and kept there just so they can have access to it. But, you know, once we move them – into an EMR, we typically don't go back and take 20 years worth of patients' charts mm-hmm. and put them into the system, because that's just too time consuming. It requires way too much manpower. So we take the point where we implement the EMR, we start them from this point forward. The next time a patient comes in or a new patient, you start putting the information in. So right. There's some overlap there for a period of time.
And what about you, Willie? Is there still something that physicians hold and feel as far as a film?
Well, it does make sense to scan the film into the system. So that, just like was mentioned earlier, they start from day one going digital. But every study prior to that is stored. And by law, I think there's 7 years for adults
right.
and 21 plus seven for kids.
Okay. Oh, so neither of you takes the existing film and scans it and puts it into the system?
Well, I mean, we don't take existing things that are not, you know, pertinent. If somebody's had 10 years worth of medical data in there, we don't want a 10-year-old lab result, you know, or something that's already been addressed. So, you know, it's definitely what the physician deems pertinent. If they want some information that maybe from last year, we can accommodate that as well. But typically things that are, you know, much, much older are not incorporated into a medical record because they're not medically relevant.
Right. That's right.
But wouldn't they be medically relevant? Like, say you have a kid that had a surgery, and then you would have some baseline information if they had the film of them, you know, and then as they get older, you can go back and say, okay, this is how that happened.
They'll keep the film. But they'll have to use both systems, digital and hard copy.
Correct.
But at that point where that, you know, for most people it wouldn't be relevant because there would be no need to go back. But like say this in this example, could you then scan that one piece of film and put it in, and then that way that person's records would be totally up to date?
Yeah,
digitally?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can do that.
Is that what would typically happen in that case, or
typically
would they use both?
Yeah, typically what would happen is the first 6 months to a year would be scanned in, mm-hmm. or if they're already digital, would be migrated over to our system, and then anything after that, scanned on demand or
on demand,
you know, looking at digital and film.
Jonathan Perrin. Jonathan works a little bit more on the laboratory end and the prescription end of electronic management of patients' records. Jonathan, can you speak a little bit to how you see your integration with the lab results and prescription management fitting into this entire picture?
It's just part of the bigger puzzle here, and it's just we're contributing that one piece. But ultimately, it's very vital because of the fact that prescriptions, x-rays, lab results are an integral part of any chart. And with medical records, everything is there. And it's always there, and it can move with the patient, so to speak. If the patient goes to another practice, that prescription goes and the lab goes with that patient. So it makes the office and basically a lot more efficient.
So on the management of the prescription side, I always think about cross-reactivity with drugs. You know, some people have five or six physicians they might see for a disease state. If somebody
and that's not even counting like if they're taking herbal, you know, supplements.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different story, Lee. But, yeah, I mean, if you take into account that one patient may have multiple doctors and multiple scripts coming in, is there a place where all of those scripts reside to know if there's counteractivity or cross-reactivity?
That's a great question, and the answer is yes. If a physician is using electronic prescriptions, they would have access to that, and they will see any time a prescription is ordered. Whether or not the two drugs are interactive, multiple drugs are being written on a patient. So the answer is yes.
So they would immediately like get pinged, like, "Hey, there's a chance that this is in a good situation."
Several times before the prescription is basically complete, they would have access to that. And again, it's just better patient care, more so than what it's been in the past with papers. And with the written scripts, physicians just wouldn't know in some cases, especially if they're seeing multiple physicians. But
right.
with electronic prescriptions, the fact that everything is tracked, basically from the moment the patient enters that practice, they have all that information.
Now, who's the repository? Willie had mentioned that he gives the patient is the person that controls where this information goes. In your case, who's the one that's the point person?
Well, it just varies. I know that most of the information as far as the checking the patient history on prescriptions resides in a – it's like a network. It's called a prescription hub, so to speak.
RX hub.
That's correct, Lawrence. And basically, the pharmacy has access to it. Any member, whether it's a reference lab or a hospital or a physician, would have access to that information if they're part of that RX hub.
What about patients?
Right.
I want to see it.
Well, no, because I think the benefit from the patient is if I have access to it, I can say, look, I'm also taking fish oil. I'm also taking these other supplements. And then that way everybody has a, kind of the real picture of what's happening, because I would imagine a lot of patients don't reveal to their doctor because they're embarrassed or they think the doctor thinks they're crazy for taking, you know, all, you know, how many, you know, 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C each day.
Sure. Again, just think of your office visit in a physician. I mean, a lot of that information is shared when you're visiting the doctor and they go through the screening questions. But as far as sharing that information is mainly shared between the physicians because of HIPAA. And we want to make sure that we protect the patient's rights with that information, especially with prescriptions.
Also, a lot of prescriptions that are taken by people on a regular basis have lab work that correlate with those. For instance, if you're on Coumadin, I know you have to check certain levels. How do those two systems speak to one another?
Great question. Very well, actually. I know in the environment that I deal with, that is constantly monitored, whereas a patient is on Zocor, the physician would have the ability to look at a cholesterol level and track both of those with the patient. And that, again, increases better patient care. The fact that you can show them a graph and say, look, this is what you're on, and this is where your results are leveling off at right now. So, again, it makes better patient care.
So they can actually chart that. The physician can show that to a patient, like in a pie chart or a graph, saying, look, you're on this medication, and this is what it's doing to your cholesterol?
That's correct, yes.
Wow. That's great. So, really, the reason why I wanted to set up this healthcare segment with the EMR component is, I don't know about y'all, I'd love to know from each one of you, I don't see it heading in any other direction. I really think that healthcare is going to start with the electronic medical record, and that's kind of the wave of the future. So as I'm speaking to physicians and we're talking about managed care and things like that, it seems like the common thread that will weave through all of it is technology and EMRs. So say, for instance, Willie, with your management system, the benefit to the patient is there in that they don't have to duplicate the x-rays, and oftentimes there's an iffy part of, well, will my managed care, my insurance pay for the x-rays again? Do you see where it would eliminate unnecessary costs in the healthcare system by using your services?
Yeah, this service is actually new, and I think we're one of the few that have a service to manage images for patients and physicians in a repository. So it's really exciting, and you know, with the big push, as you mentioned, with EMR and personal health record, this fills that gap, imaging component.
Right. I think the repository is a key component to this in all these cases, but is it going to turn into a situation where you have a repository and then each one of you individually has a repository, or is there going to be some master repository where I'm going to be able to have access or somehow integrate them all so that I can share it with my physician?
I wish I had the repository.
I know. But how do you see it evolving?
With technology, we interface with other companies. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier that we've interfaced with NextGen and a few other EMR companies and a good bit of personal health record
but
companies.
From the patient standpoint, am I going to have to – is it going to be like I have now with, you know, 50 passwords and 50 social networks that I'm involved in? I'm going to have to know – I'm going to have access to you, and then I'm going to give my physician – my password to get into yours and then into Jonathan's and to Lawrence's? Is that how you...
I think that's the trend. You know, I don't know from your experience, but when a new paradigm starts to shift, you know, with technology, it, you know, it's fragmented. And over time, it consolidates and companies get bought or they merge. And
right. So then it becomes easier at that point. But exactly. Right now, it's going to be each one of you are going to individually have a repository that'll... the patient ultimately is going to have access and decide to who I'm going to give information to. Right?
That's right.
And
for us.
And just to add to that, it's just hard right now. I mean, the doctors kind of see the light, so to speak. But we've been segmented and doing things this way for so long. I mean, change is hard for these for physicians and the medical community to embrace. But we do see the shifting in that now.
There. And excuse me, Jonathan, but you know there is a sort of solution to that right now, even though there are disparate repositories of information there for EMRs and EPMs and products like Willie has, as well as is the creation of interfaces. Interfaces are connections that allow the sharing of information back and forth between different systems. So interfaces provide some sort of networking to collect and gather and pull all that information in one location. And it's not just software interfaces, it's equipment interfaces as well. So if you want EKG data, you can have that imported in your EMR, ophthalmological data imported in your EMR as well. So there's the interfaces provide specific EMRs the ability to pull in data from different locations.
That's the exciting part, I think, for me. I see it as being a very user-friendly part for the physician as well as the patient. I mean, for instance, if you go to have a prescription refilled and I'm at my doctor and I have Blue Cross and Blue Shield or whatever insurance plan and it's not on my formulary, if they're using the electronic prescription management, they'll know what's on my formulary, correct?
That's correct.
What a wonderful thing that would be. And then it gets sent directly to the pharmacy for me to pick up. There's no paper involved?
Absolutely. And all that takes place in about 10 minutes. In the past, a typical patient would go, call their physician, they pick up a script, go by the pharmacy, drop it off, and sit there and wait. So, again, this does improve the efficiency for the patient.
So I see a time savings so far.
Absolutely.
I see a money savings. I just can't.
What's the negative? What's the thing that's holding back? I understand everybody's talked about how there's always been a way we've done this, so that's part of it. But, you know, the technology is all here, it seems.
It is here. Patients, you know, we pay bills online, right? You
right.
Know, we all use the internet for
right.
something, and it's kind of slow, healthcare adopting the web and internet for patient
but
records.
You talk about healthcare as this big monolith. Like, what part of healthcare? Like, who's the one that's saying, no, I'm not in? Is it the doctors? Is it the insurance companies?
I'll tell you, I can't. I have customers in both areas. So, you know, but the essence is a lot of folks want control of that record. And given the patients the control, they lose some of that, you know, repeat business.
Right,
so
but to me, from a patient standpoint, I mean, I have no dog in this fight in terms of, you know, I'm not in the medical world. But from a patient standpoint, I want to have the information to do what I need. Because if I have a medical situation, and I might have, you know, I might have a regular physician, I could have a cardiologist, a pulmonologist. I want them all on the same page. That's in my best interest.
That's right.
You know? So if my cardiologist has a bunch of records and my pulmonary guy has a bunch of records and my kidney guy has a bunch of records and they don't know each other and they don't have any connection, how, you know, this allows them to, I press a button and then they are all on the same page instantly.
Exactly. I don't know where my record is.
Right.
That's an example. I have no idea.
I'd love to hear from the three of you. What do you see as maybe the top three benefits that you're providing physicians by offering them your service, you know, time savings? What Willie, what would you say are the top three?
Oh, there's time savings, space savings, and getting electronic images and reports within 30 minutes is tremendous value for patients. That's better patient care, less room in their offices. Right now they store film in their offices and reports. They lose film. So
right. It doesn't even make sense. How it's done. You go into a doctor's office, they have like just, you know, what, cabinet after cabinet of paper and film. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense in this day and age.
I was actually in an office the other day, and they were saying that in order to renew their lease, they had to go to an EMR because the weight of their files was such that it didn't support.
Right.
The building infrastructure was not supporting the weight of the files. But you know, that's interesting. Lawrence, what would you say are the top three benefits?
Well, obviously storage, because storage mm-hmm. translates to less space that you have to see patients. Seeing more patients, obviously, even though a practice is there to help patients and bring them back to the best health possible, it still is a business. So if you're using up space to store records instead of seeing patients, then you're not seeing as many patients as you possibly could. The other thing is portability. I think you were discussing that a second ago. The ability to gather that information and take it with you. You know, sometimes today you can request your medical record information and stick them on one of these little flash drives or these thumb drives and take them with you, especially maybe when you're going out of the country overseas. So if something happens, somebody has an idea of what medications you're on, what's going on, what treatments has been you've had in the last, you know, 3 to 6 months. So that's very, very important. And also from a clinician standpoint, it's important for them to have the big picture of what's going on with a patient. So being able to pull in information about inpatient visits in a hospital, a patient may have just had a procedure, bringing that information in, information from specialists that they've seen, if it's a general practitioner, pulling all that information together helps physicians get a big picture view of this patient's particular state of health and helps them make more accurate and timely decisions.
Right. Isn't physician error one of the biggest problems?
That's what I was going to ask Jonathan about. Because you think about it, if you're allergic to something like a medication or certain drugs will counteract each other and cause reactions. So, Jonathan, what would you say are the top benefits?
Again, just having that access, the efficiency, and the ability, to your point, have that basically what a patient is allergic to right in front of them. Again, we do produce the drug-to-drug interactions. In these charts for prescriptions, they know, the physicians know what the patient is allergic to, and the pharmacy as well. So in essence, with our product, I mean, it puts the physician online with the pharmacy, and to a degree that never has happened before.
I mean, I don't know the statistics, but don't people actually die because of the physician's handwriting being illegible and the wrong prescription getting filled, or something getting misdocumented in a file?
Absolutely. I don't have the stats in front of me either, but I do know that we get a lot of feedback from a lot of the national drug chains thanking us as a company that we're providing this service to physicians because of bad handwriting, drugs being not interpreting what a number is, and to your point, yeah, that could lead to some a bad episode there for a patient.
So wouldn't a physician want this system just from that to just cover their butt a little bit?
Yes, oh, definitely. And again, the question was asked earlier, whether or not what would be the downside of doing this, and I was sitting here thinking, I couldn't think of anything why a physician would not want to do what all three of us are here talking about.
Okay, so we've got just a few minutes left, and I'd love to get everyone's opinion. A recent article, actually just this past week, said that the Food and Drug Administration has FDA approved the VeriChip, and there are 2,200 patients worldwide that have been implanted with the VeriChip, which is basically like the microchip you put on your pet, and it would hold all of this information we're talking about. How do y'all feel about that? Willie, what do you think about that?
Bionic man, bionic woman. That's just the next step.
How long? I mean, do you see that in 10 years?
Is that necessary, though?
I don't think so.
I think the repository intrusive. Is the way to go. Intrusive. I mean, just have a password, a username, and boom, you have access. I mean, why do you have to have a chip?
That's right. I believe putting anything inside your body, something like that is just a little bit over the top.
Right.
Especially when we were talking about the repository and the ability to store this stuff externally on some small devices you can carry with you.
Or just put a fingerprint access. So if you're unconscious or something, they can just put your fingerprint, put it into the system, and then boom, then they have access to all your data.
Right.
So you think a flash drive on your keychain is much better than a chip inside your
phone? For me personally.
A SIM card in your phone or something.
Or a card or something. The chip is a little over the top.
It seems a little over the top to me, too. It'll be interesting to see where that heads. I know that there are a lot of government grants being distributed right now in an initiative to implement EMRs. $130 million has been placed out there for physician practices to start moving towards the electronic medical records in the next decade. Any final thoughts from y'all on where this is heading and where you might see this in 5 years? Willie?
5 years, where am I going to be?
You can't even imagine, can you? Because no. It just jumps so fast. Quickly.
Yeah, I've been at it 8 years. We're in 400 hospitals, and the next phase is patients and physicians. So I think 5 years is going to be significant changes, and EMR is going to be a big push, and I hope we have a big play in that with images.
Yeah, I think you're going to see hospitals, radiology labs, all of us intertwined together sharing that information. We're already seeing that right now with a lot of large physician groups. They're already sharing that information as they send patients on referrals. They're all sharing that data, and I just think that's fantastic. Reduced cost, lab tests, things are not being ordered and being redundant as far as with orders. I think that's the way of the future for us.
Lawrence, any final comments?
No, I echo those sentiments.
Where are you going to be in 5 years?
Hopefully the president of a large electronic medical record company.
I think
right, Willie?
That's right.
Maybe y'all will collaborate. Maybe we've got the repository right here, and we just don't even know it. Wow. thank you all for coming. Thanks for being on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Amy Otto, joined by Lee Kanner, and we will speak with you next week and more about healthcare, so stay tuned.